Our intergroup trial, as everybody here realizes, was a trial addressing the role of trastuzumab or Herceptin as adjuvant therapy for node-positive and later high-risk node-negative patients with HER2 overexpressing breast cancer. The goals of the study were to evaluate whether trastuzumab adds to the benefit of conventional adjuvant chemotherapy in operable HER2-positive early-stage breast cancer. An important point that I'll spend a few minutes reviewing the data in our study is we specifically powered the study to look at the question of sequential treatment with trastuzumab versus concurrent treatment with trastuzumab. And I'd like to acknowledge Dr. Slayman's work. And one of the key questions we were asking here was not just a safety issue, which is, I think, widely understood. One of the concerns we had early on in development of this trial was whether initiation of trastuzumab immediately after completion of anthracycline-based therapy would be harmful or associated with cardiotoxicity. But another question that I don't think is as widely appreciated is, based on all of the groundbreaking work done in Dr. Slayman's lab, there was a lot of preclinical data and developing clinical literature at the time we developed this study suggesting that giving trastuzumab concurrently with chemotherapy might provide a much greater bang for the buck. In other words, that might be therapeutically very important as compared to beginning the trastuzumab at the completion of chemotherapy. And obviously, a major endpoint of the study was evaluating cardiotoxicity. This was a randomized trial evaluating conventional chemotherapy alone versus sequential treatment, which was arm B, in which that exact same chemotherapy regimen was followed by weekly trastuzumab, versus the exact same chemotherapy regimen with trastuzumab given for 1 year, but begun concurrently with paclitaxel, which is what we called arm C. We had originally powered this trial to perform two pairwise comparisons, namely the question of was there a benefit of sequential treatment with trastuzumab as compared to conventional chemotherapy alone, and secondly, was there an impact of concurrent treatment with trastuzumab compared to conventional treatment alone. And we powered the study such that we should be able to detect a 33% increase in the median disease-free survival. Now, importantly, we additionally had powered our study to perform another comparison, and namely that was to address the issue of sequential therapy versus concurrent therapy. So we had a statistical plan that gave us an ability to detect a 29% increase in median disease-free survival of concurrent versus sequential treatment. Again, based on the concerns about toxicity and the hypothesis that concurrent therapy potentially might be superior to sequential treatment. And these are the findings in a nutshell. When we compared the efficacy of arm B, which is again sequential treatment with trastuzumab versus arm A, you see a trend towards an improvement. There's a relative risk reduction of 13% favoring sequential treatment. But this, I'll point out, does not achieve the conventional definition of statistical significance. So there's a trend towards a benefit with sequential treatment, but not a statistically significant benefit. In contrast, when one looks at the impact of concurrent treatment versus sequential treatment with trastuzumab, we actually do see a statistically significant benefit favoring concurrent treatment over sequential treatment with a relative risk reduction, a hazard ratio of 0.64, which translates into a relative risk reduction of 36%, again, favoring the use of concurrent versus sequential treatment. These findings are provocative and quite interesting, but they're very preliminary. And our event rate is quite low. I think we're at about 25 to 30% of the events needed for the final analysis in our statistical plan. So we really have a very early finding. We need to await maturation of the data and more events. But nonetheless, these findings are interesting and at least suggest the possibility of a benefit favoring concurrent treatment. And in terms of our cardiac toxicity data, we had three interim planned analyses. We recently presented at a separate session at ASCO our third interim analysis on cardiotoxicity. And we had actually a zero event rate, 0% incidence of cardiotoxicity, as we defined in our study, which for purposes of this presentation is overt congestive heart failure, symptomatic congestive heart failure, and cardiac deaths. And we see a 0% incidence of that in the control arm with chemotherapy alone, a 2.2% incidence of that for patients receiving sequential treatment, and a 3.3% incidence for those patients who were randomized to arm C, in which they received concurrent treatment with trastuzumab. So I'll remind everybody, this cohort of patients, the trastuzumab began immediately upon completion of the anthracyclines. To summarize, the joint analysis clearly showed a staggering, impressive reduction in the recurrence rate with incorporation of trastuzumab into adjuvant treatment. we will need more follow-up to see the final outcomes of this study.
Norm, it's interesting that the sequential arm, 13% non-statistically significant, yet in the HERA study we saw similar strategy, 50% reduction. Norm, can you put this all together for us?
No, I don't think we can put it all together because I don't think that we have the power to put it together, divine or otherwise, or statistical. On the other hand, I think we can look at the curves that Dr. Kaufman just presented and one can't remain neutral. I think that, you know, giving it concomitantly, you know, clearly gave you a 36% reduction, giving it sequentially 13%. I mean, the clinician looking at that is, again, going to be swayed by it. And I think what we're seeing is that if you delay Herceptin beyond chemotherapy, that you're going to pay a price as far as efficacy. Well, these data are inconsistent with the HERA data. Not necessarily. I think one explanation that Brian Leland-Jones gave for the fact that the taxanes had a hazard rate of 0.77, the lowest benefit from Herceptin is not because we're dealing with a low-risk population, but because they got more cycles of chemotherapy, and hence the Herceptin was delayed. So I think that what we're seeing in HERA and what we're seeing in 9831 are not inconsistent with one another, although granted, you know, we're not speaking from any standpoint of statistical power here, but I think that there is a certain consistency and that if you're going to get the greatest benefit of Herceptin, give it as soon as you can and give it concomitantly with the chemotherapy.
Dr. Sleeman, your laboratory work showing the synergy between trastuzumab and chemotherapy was a part of the impetus to look at this question. What are your thoughts about these data?
Well, I mean, I'm obviously intrigued by this apparent dichotomy in the two data sets, but I think that Norm covered it well. I think the HERA investigators have always been very out there about the fact that, remember when the randomization occurred, and keep this in mind when you're evaluating these data. So we're in the uncomfortable position of trying to make assumptions without having mature data. No one's going to have to wait, I think, years and years, but certainly we're going to have to wait months and at least one updated analysis to be able to really say definitively. If you ask me my preconceived notion, which is always a dangerous thing to have, my preconceived notion is based on the biologic data we have that giving it together makes a difference.